This must be Thursday. I never could get the hang of Thursdays.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, and it is not a Thursday, it is actually a Sunday. Can you believe it's actually a Sunday?
I think I can believe that.
Can you believe it?
I think I should.
Probably.
Yeah, that would help. We're having one of those funny mic days.
It's going to be like...
I could never get the hang of that on a Thursday. No wonder it's a Sunday.
How are
you going over there?
Hey, I know the problem. There it is. It's working now.
You got it now? So you're the one with the dodgy mic today. Yeah. It's not me for a change.
Yeah, I might keep talking.
Yeah, you keep talking. You're going to switch over to a different mic maybe?
I'm going to see if this one will reach over here.
I'm not sure if it will. It seems pretty... Anyway, welcome to the Gadget Grill, your home of gadgets, software, technology, and all sorts of bits and pieces.
Yeah, that's working. That's good.
Really loud. You were just incredible. Incredibly loud.
There we go. Welcome to the Gadget Grill on a Sunday night.
Yeah, still a bit too loud.
There we go.
A bit better. A little bit better, yeah. Welcome to the Gadget Grill on a Sunday night, because we only air on Sunday nights, Dad.
We are indeed.
Yeah. And on tonight's show, we're actually talking about something that happened on a Thursday this week.
Exactly. What happened on Thursday this week?
Well, you see, I'm just going to start in something. This is our 47th show. Can you believe it or not? This is our 47th
show.
And you want to keep that 7 part, because this week Microsoft released Windows 7. I'm not sure if that technically is their 7th operating system. I actually think they're probably further in than that, if you count how many versions of 98 there were, and 2000, and all the other things.
I'm not going to count.
And Vista. But even with that in mind, they've launched Windows 7, which is a new operating system. We've talked about it before, but now Microsoft have actually launched it. You can go to the stores and buy it. And
people have been lining up in the stores.
They have been, actually, yes. And so we were at the Windows 7 launch this week.
Yes, we were.
We were, and we're going to talk to one of the guys responsible for, you could have said something like the bass with that sound effect, the monstrosity that was Windows Vista, but Windows 7 is not that. So we're going to be talking to one of the guys responsible for the beauty, essentially, that is Windows 7.
Exactly. He's a very nice guy, very intelligent guy, very impressive guy, actually, for somebody to impress me.
You're in love.
Yes,
but
not with him.
Oh, I was about to say the love hearts popping up.
That was the photo shoot I did.
Oh, nice. And we're also going to try and get a review of a camera that we've had in here for a couple of weeks, made by Samsung. It's got two screens. What's the second screen for?
The second screen is the vanity screen.
The vanity screen, okay, sure. And we've also got a whole bunch of music and some news. We'll get started in the music right now. This is what I feel like at the moment. This is My Chemical Romance with the abrupt song Dead. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner lip west. Because the lip has several layers, or so I'm learning about. When people speak, they use different... I'm not going to go on about that.
I think you should stay well away from the topic of inner lips.
Inner lips. This is 88.1, and if you're listening to us on the radio, that's fantastic. I salute your dedication to the field of... radios. But if you don't happen to have a radio and for some reason you're listening to us using the metal fillings in your teeth, you can also tune in using this new medium called the computer, and the internet specifically. I haven't had enough.
Is that a gadget? Would that be classed as a gadget?
I don't know. I haven't had enough sleep today to really comment on what's a gadget and what's not.
Okay.
You know, week before Halloween, I'm sort of living it up already. But if you want to listen to us online, you can head to...
I told you to take off the bloody mask.
Yeah, I didn't. I've still got the horns on, okay? You can head to www.radio2rdj.com to listen to this show, or any of the other fantastic, wonderful streams, because this station streams live, really live. Or,
which is far better than streaming dead.
Much better. And if you'd like to head to our website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au, you can hear any of the podcasts we've played. We have 46 other shows you can listen to.
46?
It's like
we're
hours.
Getting old.
That's like, that's almost, I think that actually is. Now, next week, that'll be a full day, full 24 hours worth. No, it's already past that,
it's
isn't
well
it?
Past
it's,
that, yes.
Yeah. Yes, it's already past it. So next week, it'll be 2 days full of content from us.
Baba Gadget Grill, have you any shows?
We do. And
how about we get on with the news?
Yes, sir. Three bags full.
Thou shalt not tweet.
Well, not with me, it won't. I manage about 500 a week.
Yeah. According to the movie studios, they've told their stars to stop tweeting. Cameron Diaz and Mike Myers have been told to cut their tweeting when they start filming the next Trek keep all the secrets in.
I did hear about this. Tweeting, which a lot of people still don't understand, it's basically a way of telling people what you're doing, a mass communication device. A lot of people are seeing it as social media. I personally see it as a way of communicating with people just basically through the social media form.
Very, very simple way of keeping it.
Yeah, a lot of people have been using it to communicate information. I think, was it Paula Abdul, who's on American Idol, or was on to it? Anyway, she used it to recently say she was leaving the show. It's being used as a means of telling people about things before the agents know about it. And I hear Hollywood are a bit scared about the...
It's breaking secrets.
It's uncontrollable.
It's leakage.
It's literally uncontrollable. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Hot on the heels of the Windows 7 release, which was this week, HP have announced, in America at least, a touchscreen monitor, a multi-touch capable monitor. I've asked for confirmation from HP in Australia. They don't actually know if it's going to be available here yet. But
we should get one for review.
Yeah, well, they don't know if it's going to be available here yet. That's the part
minor
where...
Minor detail.
Anyway, it's a 1080p 21.5-inch screen that is literally designed out of the box for you to put your hands on it, which is a fantastic thing because, as you'll hear later on, that's one of the coolest things actually about Windows 7. It's designed for your hands. And apparently it also comes with a stylus on the monitor.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Elgato. You know how they've done the iPhone? They've got iPhone app.
You like Elgato.
Yes, I do.
They have an iPhone app. What's the iPhone app
do? Well, you know how they've got the iPhone app that lets you stream live TV from your Mac?
I now do, although I think I'm the one who told you about it.
Oh, actually, I knew about it before you did. Because I
ruined my fun.
Because I got a release note about it.
You get release notes from Elgato and I don't?
Yes, because I'm a customer of theirs.
Oh, well, that would explain it. Yeah.
Well, over the weekend, the iPhone iTV app was pulled from the App Store.
Why for?
And then it reappeared.
What happened?
They left in some functionality, some test functionality. The idea of the application is that it lets you broadcast TV to your iPhone.
That's right. You can
over your 802.11 network.
That's right. If you have the Elgato TV tuner, you can you can watch TV from your toilet.
Exactly.
If you've got your iPhone with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or your iPod.
Well, they left in some functionality that also let it broadcast over the 3G network.
I can see.
AT&T were apparently not all that happy about.
Yeah,
that.
I can see why that would be a bit of a problem. You hear about this week is the Tokyo Auto Show.
I saw.
All the... I saw this. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
What were you trying to say? Did you say, sound
sushi.
Like, sounded like you were saying something very rude there for a second.
Sushi.
Okay. Well,
I was referring to you.
Honda have this week, thank you for that, have unveiled an electric version of, I'm not sure if you remember this, the Super Club motorcycle.
Oh, yes.
They've released...
That's the one that looks like a club that you hit.
Here, I'll show it to you, but, and you can make your remarks live on the air.
Oh, that's like the old bloody Honda step-throughs.
Yeah, well, that's what it's supposed to be, except it's
electric.
Except it's electric, so it's going to be nice and friendly for the environment.
Toyota have gone the other way.
Yeah?
They've released what they're hoping is going to be a competitor. They've gone and released a new Lexus, or announced a new Lexus.
A new Lexus.
That is going to hopefully be a competitor to Ferrari, Maserati, all the supercars.
No one can really compete with the original supercar companies.
I don't think they've got
Didn't Honda try the NSX? That didn't...
The NS, that's right.
That didn't go very well. And
it was a nice car.
And Mitsubishi have had some prototypes. Hyundai had prototypes that never came out. No one can really compete.
No.
You can't compete with the legends.
That's right.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble, they have announced a dual-screen e-book reader, which they're calling the Nook.
I don't agree with the name. I'm a little bit confused.
Well, it's a book nook.
Does it fit inside a cranny? Is that, does it come with a cranny? Does it come with a granny? Does it, is it nook and granny?
No, no, you buy the nook for your granny, so then you got a nook and granny.
I actually got to admit, I quite like the design of this. I love the dual screen. At the bottom of this, it looks a bit like the Kindle, which we'll be getting in for review here very shortly. I quite liked how that this is a... It's another ebook reader. It uses the e-ink technology, but at the bottom, it's got a color touchscreen. I think that's a really nice feature. I'm wondering how to hack that, to be completely honest.
Yeah. From the company that makes a lot of products that really suck,
yeah,
they've now brought out something that blows.
Okay.
James Dyson.
Oh, yes, of course. We weren't invited to that, sadly. There was an opening this week. Apparently, everyone got a free fan.
Yeah.
James Dyson, you're talking about the fan.
The new electric
that
fan.
That you can put your hand in.
There's no actual fan blades.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Did we not get an invite?
No, we didn't get an invite to that.
Oh.
I know. We should complain.
We should
complain. We'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. We shall do that tomorrow because, you know, no conventional blades. This is...
It's a very cool piece of technology. We should just explain.
It amplifies the air.
We should explain what it is quickly. You know how your regular fan, your desk fan...
I've got the whole definition of how it works here if you want me to read it.
Well, I'm just going to explain quickly what it is. You've got a desk fan. It's got the blades and it's got the propeller on, or propeller blades and the...
Fan blades
and the grill. Well, this doesn't have any of that. It's basically...
A circle.
A circle attached to a stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can explain how it works quickly.
Okay. It works by accelerating air through an annular aperture set within the loop amplifier. This in turn creates a jet of air which passes over an airfoil shaped ramp that channels its direction.
Of course, there is
200 pounds.
That's the problem. I was about to say there is a problem. That's a fan, and fans these days cost about $10. So you can see a bit of a problem a lot of people are going to have with that. Apple, of course, this week updated a whole bunch of things. They updated their iMacs to be bigger, faster. They've got Core i5 and Core i7 models. They've got a MacBook with a unibody now, so it's all plastic body with the battery built in. And they've even got a new mouse, which is basically like an iPod Touch. As a mouse.
Interesting, the new mouse. Some interesting technology there, but Apple made all those announcements on the day immediately prior to the Windows 7 launch
party. Of course,
party.
As you do.
It's my party, and I'm going to cry if I want to.
Sound like any other companies you know?
Indeed. We'll come to that one in a moment.
Here we will.
But in the meantime, an academic has predicted that Windows 7 is possibly going to be Microsoft's last desktop operating system.
How would you explain that?
Professor Sanjay Chawla.
Oh, we got one of those names, have we?
Yeah, University of Sydney School of Information Technologies.
Okay.
He says that desktop computing is becoming less important as cloud computing and virtualization become increasingly commonplace.
I'm still...
He's saying is that we have less of a need for Microsoft Word, Microsoft Office, all of those, because we're going to do
this,
them.
I think we said this on our fourth or fifth show.
Because all of that stuff is going to happen in the cloud.
But that's
and
it.
So with,
I'm not
with
sure
that
if the
happening in the cloud, you can use a... You can use a Linux or Mac or whatever. It doesn't matter what your operating system
is.
No, I think that's the upshot of what he's saying.
It shouldn't matter what your operating system is. That's completely true. But I'm not sure if the operating system itself will remain in the cloud, to be completely honest. I'm not sure we're quite there yet, especially not with Australian telcos.
Well, the operating system won't be in the cloud, but he's saying that you don't need as heavyweight operating systems and all the features.
But for what it's worth, you don't anyway. You can run without a lot of that stuff as it is.
And in a related note...
Yes.
Microsoft has announced that public betas of SharePoint 2010 and
I don't
Office
even know what this is. I got the real release for it and I have no idea what it is. What's it mean?
Well, they've announced that the public betas are going to be released in November.
I get that. What is the product?
Final versions. Well, Office 2010. You know what Office is.
Oh, cool. I know what Office is, yeah.
And SharePoint is their version of a web portal.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't like SharePoint all that much. I think it does.
Well, Microsoft, if you're listening, somehow work out a way to change this man's mind.
Because it is very, very resource intensive.
This is why.
New features of SharePoint, though, include an Office-style ribbon interface, deeper integration with Office, support for rich media, additional content management features. It's a CMS.
It must be Christmas because we're seeing all these new products coming out. Acer have actually introduced, it's official now, a 3D-equipped laptop. Essentially, the idea is that it comes with a 3D screen, but... you have to use glasses to get it to work is what I'm seeing. But meanwhile, Canon have also introduced a new camera to compete with Nikon's camera from last week. Nikon introduced a D3S, which is a very, very pro camera, sort of camera that no one who listens to the show would ever be able to afford, maybe us, if we're lucky. Maybe they'll give us one if we're lucky.
We need to get one to review.
We do. It's incredibly the sort of things it does. The high ISO is very good. Canon have come up with their competitor. Strangely, their competitor isn't quite the same market, which is a very strange way of competing. The new 1DS Mark IV is a 1.3 crop factor sensor compared to Nikon's full frame. I'm not making any judgments on this at all. I'm just stating the facts as they are.
Theoretically, it looks like it's going to have some nice features.
Exactly. And being a Canon, it'll probably have an excellent video mode. It supports 1080p. I'm just a little bit confused as to how they're competing with these two.
Right. I think that's all the news that I've got.
It's most of the news that I've got. It's all the news I've got. I was going to say, this week there was a MySpace My Music Studio launch, which I'm going to try and get an interview for with some of the bands who are competing. I don't actually know quite what it is, but I can tell you that one of the bands this week who is playing in Sydney for free is our next song. Blue Juice, who are an Australian band. I think
cool.
My mum works with a couple of the members of the band.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Broken Leg, their new hit song.
Breakfast with a Difference, tune into Ian and Dee Dee's Breakfast Chill on 2RDJ every Monday from 7am to 9am, broadcasting live right after the BBC World Service.
Listen to a beautiful blend of New Age, meditation and reflection, as well as news talk, health and well-being, entertainment and some fun and games.
As a mix of music from hot to chilled, contemporary to classic.
Tune in and chill out every Monday from 7 to 9am, 2RDJ 88.1 FM.
We'll put you in the mood.
Check this out!
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. We're going to get right into our little feature here because it's important because it's Windows 7's launch, and I guess it's Microsoft's biggest, most important launch.
They are probably
one of the biggest companies on the freaking planet.
Yeah, it's actually a very important launch for Microsoft. It's a very important launch for the world because...
For the world.
For the world.
Because, Superman's here and all.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously, because Microsoft, there are so many computers in the world that run on Microsoft operating systems.
Most of the world.
You know, a lot of people did not go to the Vista product because they didn't think it was very good.
A lot of people couldn't open that damn box, that plastic box that required its own set of operating instructions. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, a lot of people rejected Vista. So Microsoft have been selling XP for 6-7 years now.
A downgrade program.
And they had a downgrade program, but for me, you know, sort of going from Vista to XP was an upgrade. That was my personal opinion.
Yeah.
And so this is very, very important. And while I won't say that Microsoft's future depends upon the success of Windows 7, there is a lot that is riding on it.
In fact, it's so much that a lot of, and I've talked to quite a few, a lot of Windows users have made the migration to Mac OS as a result. This might bring them back.
Well, that is right. In fact, I personally migrated to Mac OS because I was so disappointed in the laptop offerings with Vista on it. I just could not bear using a laptop with Vista on it, so I went and got a Mac, and I know a lot of people did the same.
Yep.
Windows 7 is going to bring a lot of people back. It's going to give people the cause to upgrade their hardware to...
Evangelist right here, and he doesn't even get paid. But in seriousness,
We had a chat on Thursday with one of the senior people from Microsoft, Jeff Putt. He was the best presenter on the day at the presentation at the launch party.
Mm-hmm.
And... We managed to get some one-on-one time with Jeff, and here's what he had to say.
Can you just say your name and what you do for me?
Yeah.
Or what you do for
what
me.
Do you do for, what do you do for anyone?
Yeah, I'm Jeff Putt. I'm the Windows Consumer Lead for Microsoft Australia.
Now, we're here at the Windows 7 launch. Why is Windows 7 big?
Why is Windows 7 big? Mm. Windows 7's big because a lot of users have told us it's big. You know, we in that room, we asked people to put up their hands to who's used it already, right? And we were on the day of launch, and I thought the estimate of three quarters was low. I thought it looked like about 80-90% of people.
It looked to me like it was
almost everyone.
High. Yeah.
In fact, as I was going on to do my demo, I was worried that actually more people in the audience would know the demo better than I did. So it's big because people that use it like it.
Why do they like it? What's changed?
I think what we've done is a couple of things have changed. We've changed our approach. We've listened to customers. And I know that sounds like marketing speak, but we're really serious when we say we actually took on board a lot of customer feedback. We ran a really extensive beta and RC program, 8 million people. We improved the telemetry that we got back from those programs. And we also surveyed those people around what they thought about it. So we weren't just testing technical stuff. We're also testing attitudes and reception to the changes that we've made. So that's one. That's led to a product that we really tried to emphasize three key pillars. And I've talked about those pillars already. Simplifying the way people work with their PC. You know, less clicks, desktop preview, those sorts of things, because things have changed since we introduced our last operating system, right? More data, more documents, all that sort of stuff. So simplifying the way they work with their PC, and I showed you a couple of features like that. Getting it to work the way they want, reliably, powers up quite fast, shuts down fast, you know, when you connect, it connects well and all those sorts of things, right? And then the final thing is some of the new stuff. Some of the new stuff is kind of interesting and shiny, but I think we'll get a lot of credit for the fundamentals that we've got right.
There are some interesting new features in there. The Snap 2 looks to me to be a very, very useful feature. I found, you know, sort of that to be useful, and I also like the taskbar previews of the various screens and the transparency that comes in. That is nice.
Done well. Yeah, you look at what Vista tried to do with Aero. Vista made a reasonable attempt. Windows 7 pulls it off brilliantly.
Yeah,
and with less use of resources.
Yes, so it's a lighter footprint, right? So, so if you think about the last 3 years, all of a sudden, you know, conservation, economy, you know, saving resources rather than spending resources become a thing, and so that's reflected in the operating system as well. They consciously tried to work out it's not about more power, more power, more power all the time. Moore's law is now being applied in a different way. It's around how do you optimize, how do you make it efficient, and so people are now pivoting on battery life. You know, you saw the OEMs up on stage, 12-hour battery life. Now, even if it's only 10 hours, it's still 10 hours battery life, right?
Well, 12 hours is enough to get you on a flight from Sydney to LA, and even 10 hours, if you take out the fact that you're going to have to take a potty break and you're going to take some time for a meal and a glass
snooze.
Of wine, that's enough to get you over there.
I remember, it wasn't that long ago, a few years ago now, I used to have two batteries just to get to Melbourne.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And so,
Melbourne's so far away.
Yeah, well, it's like an
hey, actually, it's not as bad as going to Brisbane. If you go to Brisbane, you've got to take a 10-year pass.
I actually just went to Brisbane a couple of weeks ago. But the thing is that it's, you know, those sorts of improvements are the things you don't go, hey, it's more optimal for power, you know. But those are the improvements that people reflect, you know. How do I demonstrate starts up faster? You know, with all the you know presentation facilities we've got, but that's what people are reflecting back to us. You know, because we've been around the country talking to retail salespeople and asking them what do they like, and everyone likes something different. There's no one big killer feature. There's no this has got to be why it is. People love little things that are personal to them, and that's I think what's going to make it big.
Well, that's a big thing of it, of course, because it is a personal computer operating system,
very much so,
and it is how that's people customize it for their own use. If it doesn't work for you, then you're going to get pissed off with the thing and you're not going to use it.
And that's the feedback we heard loud and clear, right? And that's where Snap came from. Snap came from users asking us, look, we want to do side-by-side comparisons. We noticed in the studies we did, people seem to be resizing their windows more than we sort of thought they should, you know? And it turns out they were trying to do side-by-side. And then once you've done it, if you want to go back to full side, you know, full view again of that one thing, you've got to resize. And so Snap is a really easy function. And it's also one that carries over into touch as well. You saw I was able to drag and
I like I like the touch facility.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I haven't yet had a chance to play with because we don't have the hardware.
Oh, we have a tablet, but it's slightly different than tablet.
That is not the same. And,
a couple of the vendors have a 24-inch display that's touch-enabled. So you plug it into your monitor port, and then plug the USB.
Plug the USB,
And then that touch enables your Windows.
Actually, I do have a touch screen available.
Really?
On the HTPC.
Oh, good point. Oh, I do have a question regarding that. Are we seeing a lot of the Microsoft Surface technology really be integrated into Windows 7 development with touch?
Yes. Yeah, you saw the Surface Pack and you saw the collage application I demonstrated. That Lagoon is another thing from Surface. And what it really does, while the touch mechanism is different, the interface or the way that you interact is the same for Surface and Touch. Surface uses cameras, and that's why you get tag recognition and those sorts of things. But on those laptops and all-in-ones that I was demonstrating on, we're able to bring and really get a head start in Touch. You know, you saw the inertia and those sorts of things, the halo that went around my finger when I was doing a right click. And there's a whole bunch of gestures that us as avid users are going to have to relearn. My kids picked up really easy.
Mind you, the halo, that's not unfamiliar to me. I've been using Windows CE since 1.0.
Right, yeah.
And that's something that came out in 2.
I mean, that's a really good point. And one of the things we've been able to...
There's a lot of merging of
exactly,
that technology.
Exactly. We're able to leverage our research and development. I don't know if you know, but Microsoft spends $9 billion on R&D. We're the biggest spend in the world, right?
I'm half expecting Windows 7 to involve things like Sea Dragon and PhotoSense, to be honest.
I wouldn't exclude anything. Do you know what I mean? but certainly, if you think about what you see things popping up. And I think that's important, because we all interact with different devices every day, right?
Yeah.
And if we can establish some kind of coder or some kind of expectation of operation or some kind of way of saying, hey, look, this will work in a familiar way, even if it's only slightly different, that's going to benefit users. At the end of the day, that's going to make things easy to use. You don't have to worry about who's the fastest that's setting up the sound recorder and all that sort of stuff, because both of you know, right?
And by that time, my Windows 7 machine's already on, so I'm already recording anyway.
Yeah, well, there you go, you know. And I was really happy that we got the OEMs up on stage. They were a very important part of the presentation today, because it's just a piece of software, you know, and the hardware is what makes it come alive. And so we are very hot on, and that's something else we've done differently, working with the OEMs to make sure that we've got great industrial design, we've got great new innovation in hardware, and, you know, you saw the wide variety of stuff we had there.
The industrial design that I'm seeing in the hardware now...
Spectacular, isn't it?
In the laptops. It's just absolutely spectacular. It started with the MacBook Air with some really nice design, and then last year we had a couple of IBMs and Toshibas came out with some really beautiful, elegant design, and the new HPs and the Sony today.
And now you're seeing the operating system really come together with it to basically create an experience that is the one thing that Macs have presented, an experience that works entirely.
And there's that integrated experience that we are, I think, really leveraging with Windows 7. You know, I don't think, if you look at the Sony Vaio X, I don't think that would have been possible without Windows 7. Mm. You know, you look at the groundbreaking, how thin that was.
I mean, if you play the cynical argument, imagine it with Windows Vista.
And
I don't think I can.
Well, you know, the power function, the power savings, the memory optimization, the performance optimization, tuning that's gone into Windows 7, you know, has been going on since January, with beta and then RC. And look, you know, if you think about the beta, it's widely adopted. It's like an old school RC. If you look at RC, it's like an old school RTM. And that's why I was serious today when I said we're as mature as any SP1 product when we launch it today. And I think customers can have confidence in that.
We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any other questions?
No, I think I'm very happy with that.
I have one, but it's more of a poke one, because you asked for a jetpack and you had one. You're obviously very proud. I have a big question. Where the hell's Clippy?
Yeah, Clippy. Look, I miss him too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, look, I was happy that we managed to hold Solitaire still in there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
It means you've still got something to play.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but
Solitaire, the games don't install by default. The games do not install by default.
Really?
Really?
Well, they installed on my machine by default.
I had to install them on some other machine. Maybe it's user
possibly.
Error.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
I went through the default install.
Solitaire is great in Touch, by the way, as well. It works really well.
I'm not going to go there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for your time. Cheers. All the best. Right.
Cool.
Right, that was Jeff Putt from Microsoft giving us a heads up. We're going to head right into the song because we don't have much time. This is
it's amazing how quickly the time flies when you're having fun.
This is Charles Mingus with Crying Blues.
See the two RDJ voices in action at the Ashfield Carnival of Cultures on Sunday, the 1st of November. Visit our stall, listen to our programs and talk to us about radio and what we're up to. And if you've always wanted to be on radio yourself, talk to us about taking that first step to becoming an on-air personality. The fair is on at Ashfield Park from 10 o'clock. See you there. Two RDJ and Ashfield Council, working together for our community. Raise the roof and sing ole, ole.
88.1 Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, and we're going to get stuck into our review here. You want to turn my sound down a bit? Thank you. Thank you, Dad. That was really nice of you. On the other side of the desk is Gary Stark, my dad, the producer, the Gadget Gorilla. And we've got in the studio today, because we review a lot of cameras, because I guess you could say we're camera obsessed.
We're certainly camera.
We have this camera here called the ST550 by Samsung.
Very nice little camera.
It's an interesting little camera. It's a point and shoot. It's designed for basically regular people, so you. Not necessarily me, but you.
Me?
Yeah, well, the person listening to this. The listener. Yeah. And it has, instead of having tactile controls on the back, it's got a giant touchscreen.
With
haptic feedback, which means if you touch different things, it vibrates to makes it feel like you're actually touching a button.
It works a bit too well.
But it does work a bit too well. In fact, that's one of the big problems with a screen this large is that you accidentally end up touching the screen and activating a different function.
Especially when you're trying to use the front screen function.
Very much so, because this camera has a screen on the front that when you tap it, like that, I'll just make that sound. When you tap it like that, the screen turns on the front, so you can do one of those self-portraits. I'll do one of me in the studio right now.
You can actually see yourself on the front screen, compose, focus,
we go.
While seeing yourself on there, and there Lee has just taken a photo of himself. Oh, my God, he broke the camera.
I think I almost did. I look drunk, which I'm not. I'm just tired. I look dead. Anyway, it's got some really cool options. It shoots in 720p video if you want some video with it as well.
And the video quality is very good.
Actually, the video camera is probably, in my opinion, one of the most impressive things about it, with the exception of there's a bug when you zoom, the sound cuts
the
in
sound
and out.
Cuts out, yeah. We need to talk about
it. It takes micro SD as a memory format. It's got a USB charger with it.
You just plug it in and charge it off your computer or off a PowerPoint?
It's actually a fairly well-built camera. It's great for beginners, I got to admit.
I think that their target market for this is the young teenage female,
female. Let's generalize as much as possible.
Yeah. No, it's sort of the 14 to 20-year-old age group, I would say.
Yeah, something
and
like that.
And I think that those sorts of people, with the front screen, they're just going to lap this up. It is a great – I've shown it to a couple of people and they've – it's wow.
I showed it to my grandmother and she was blown away by it. She loved being able to see herself and take that picture. It's pretty impressive. There are two versions of it. This one's about $399 RRP. There's a version with a smaller screen that's identical in every way from what I hear, and it's $100 less. I would probably say go to that one,
I would, to be completely honest. I would concur.
Just
with
because
that.
The touch screen on this is maybe a touch too large. Next time they maybe want to include a wider lens.
Yeah.
Go some blues. I hear there's a blues festival this weekend.
Blues festival finishing right now as we
finishing right now. Well, this is Johnny Lang and Lie to Me. Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill. The final minutes, so I was going to say final hours, but it's not the final hours. We're not on our deathbed. This is just the final minutes of the Gadget Grill. And you know what that means, Dad?
That means we've got to go.
No, that means we have time for a useless gadget. Well, we've got Herbert, the audience, crawling in underneath us. A useless gadget this week. You know how I like headphones so much?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know how I like putting things in my ear. Don't you take that anywhere else. Don't you dare take that anywhere else with your dirty mind. Well,
I was wondering what that banana was doing. Thank you.
Great. There's this new headphones out called the Acronym GTJ14. I'm not kidding.
And what does that stand for?
I don't have a clue. That's seriously what's called the Acronym GTJ14s. It's not called that. I'm reading that from a story. They're actually just called the crazy earphones, apparently.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Why are they crazy?
I was apologies about the acronym thing. I was reading it from Engadget. Anyway, these new headphones, they're crazy because they look like a bolt. They look like you can have bolts running through your ears.
Okay.
You have sushi rolls running, salmon egg roll running through your...
Okay, salmon roll.
Yeah, salmon roll. And there's a banana. You can have a banana in one ear, out the other. There's a pore. I'm not sure I quite dig
the
pore.
That's what I just said, isn't it?
Did you?
About the banana in your ear.
It is what you just said. Look, I'm over this now. I just don't give a... I really don't give a damn anymore.
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on RDJ FM 88.1.
I mean, I'm all for bananas, but I mean, that's just a little bit chaotic for me.
My name is Gary Stark. I am the Gadget Gorilla. Miller.
And my name is Lee Stark, and apparently I'm reading way too many websites at the moment. I should probably see a psychologist about this. To be honest, I'm just obsessed with fruit. I'm just really obsessed with fruit.
We'll be back next Sunday.
Yeah, we will.
With
yeah.
our post-Halloween gadget grill.
Our post-Halloween gadget grill, hopefully with some bananas and some salmon roe and some nuts and some fruit and some cranberries. Yeah.
The nuts will be the people behind the microphone.
The nuts are the people behind the microphone right now. We'll transform into even bigger nuts.
Let's have a listen to...
This is Herbert and the Audience. Have a good week, Australia.
Your feet, I'm your toes.
Where you come from, no one knows.
I'm your breath, you're my tongue. I feel old when you look young.
You're my vision,
I'm your sense.
And you are butter,
I am limb.